Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Today's passage concerns a father instructing his child in the ways of godly wisdom. Though these words were spoken centuries ago, they are still relevant today. Christian parents and children alike will find these words invaluable as they strive to live godly lives in a godless world. Please open your Bible to Proverbs 4 and listen as Pastor Ray Viola begins his study of this chapter.
Proverbs chapter 4. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsaking not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straitened, and when you run, you shall not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not, except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shines more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth, and perverse lips put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Well, you read that chapter and you realize a father-to-son conversation, it really doesn't change at all, does it? Here's a father speaking to his son, no doubt speaking to his father and to his son and daughter, and giving them instruction on just some of the basic principles of how to live a godly life in a godless world. A lot of the theologians, or many of them, call the book of Proverbs the James of the Old Testament. And it is. It's a book that is right on. Every verse could be a study in and of itself. So many practical aspects of wisdom and living the Christian life are found in the book of Proverbs. And tonight, it is no exception. Notice here, ye children. God wants us to hear. It's been said he gave us two ears and one mouth because he intends for us to listen twice as much as we talk. But often that's not the case. Often we talk more than we listen. Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. Hearing as children the instruction of a father, listening to and honoring the godly instruction of parents who know the Lord, contains a promise. We read about it in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, that certainly is true in the biological realm and in the spiritual realm when you have a Christian family. But how much more does this promise to hear, you children, the instruction of a father relate to us as children of the living God? How we need to listen to him. So the Father says, and our Heavenly Father says, for I give you good doctrine. Don't forsake my law. When Jesus was asked, what is the great or chief commandment of the law? What is the commandment that you and I are to heed? He tells us in Matthew 22, verse 37, Jesus said unto him, the one who asked, Master, what is the great commandment of the law? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. That was true when Jesus spoke those words, and they're true today. According to the Apostle Paul, love is what fulfills the law. It's good doctrine. Romans 13:8 says, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And once again, according to Jesus' stepbrother, James, loving our neighbor as ourselves fulfills the law of God. In James chapter 2, verse 8, if you fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ye do well. That's good doctrine. Walking in the love of God, loving him supremely, loving our neighbors. In the body of Christ, loving one another as Christ has loved us. Good, sound doctrine. Loving the Lord supremely. And doctrine is very important. Don't let anybody try to tell you that doctrine is not important. It is extremely important. In the book of Psalms, chapter 19, verse 7, we read, for the law or doctrine of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. Good, sound doctrine is so important in the church because it's the basis of sound, holy, and Christ-like living. In 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, we read, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And in this day and age, when the very core of our beliefs, biblical beliefs, are being challenged and marginalized and mocked by the secular education and worldly philosophies, it's important that our children hear from us what good doctrine is. You see, the parents are the ones who are to be teaching to their children good doctrine, not the school and not primarily the church. The church is here, and we should be here to support what parents are teaching their children, biblical truth. But the parents are the ones who own the responsibility. And I pray that we would never forget that. Everything that we believe, everything that is precious, everything that is valuable to us as believers is being mocked and ridiculed. And sadly, a lot of churches are caving in, mixing some of the world's philosophies and the world's ways of thinking things and the world's views of creation and all of that. Everything's being challenged. How we need to stand on the authority of God's word. How we need to be a people who stand in the truth of God, standing in the truth of Scripture. And here's a father telling his son, and no doubt his his daughter, I give you good doctrine. And what is the purpose of good doctrine? It's one thing to hear it, and we should. But Jesus summed up the Sermon on the Mount as it is recorded in the Gospel of Luke this way. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. Did you notice here that whether or not you are listening to the word and obeying or not, there's going to be storms that come into our lives. There's going to be things that are going to try us in trials. But Jesus gives us this promise that when we hear the word and we seek to apply what the word says, the storms are going to come. The trials are going to come. The tests are going to come. But when you build your house upon the solid rock of good doctrine and the solid rock of the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you may be shaken, but you won't fall. That's why it's so important that we be a people who come tonight, not only to hear what God says, but to hear what he says that I may apply it to my life, because God's word is good. Now, Solomon here, who is the human author, says, "For I was my father's son," so that would have been David, "tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother," who would have been Bathsheba. "He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live." He taught me. Imagine having David for a father. David is here teaching his son. And he taught him, "Let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live." No doubt David has a lot of experience, doesn't he? Good and bad. And he's reminding him how important it is to obey what God says. And David knows that when you don't obey what God says, there are consequences. And so he makes this appeal. And again, he is taking the role, David is taking the role as any father, and Bathsheba as any mother would do, teaching the children the importance of obeying the commandments of the Lord, retaining his words. In the book of Ephesians, verse 4 of chapter 6, it says, "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." The very foundation of the nation of Israel was based on the church, or the family being the bedrock of the nation, where theology was taught. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 6, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk in the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up." Strong families make strong churches. Strong Bible-believing teaching families make strong churches. And we need strong families if we're going to be a strong church for the glory of God. Abraham was the man of God, a friend of God. And in Genesis chapter 18, God declares, "For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment." Notice Papa Abraham, he didn't ask his children whether they wanted to obey God or listen. He commanded them to. Now, when they got to that age where they could be on their own, then they're free. But Joshua said, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." You see, dads, we have to take that role. We have to take that headship role seriously. Notice Abraham will command his children. and his household after him. Let your heart, 19 times in the Proverbs, we're going to find references to thine heart. When the Bible talks about the heart is the throne room of the Spirit. We could say it. It is the holy of holies of this body. It's the reservoir from which flows the issues of life, whether they be good and bad. And he's going to mention more about the heart at the end of this study. So David is telling Solomon, let your heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. And then he says, get wisdom. Boy, you need wisdom? Abba wants us to have wisdom. And here Solomon learns from David, and he says, get wisdom or acquire wisdom and understanding. Forget it not, neither decline from the words of thy mouth. So these are verbs. These are action words. It's a pursuit in life, getting the wisdom of God. Now, notice, we already saw in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, that the very source of wisdom is what? The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That's what we need. The church needs the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of wisdom. In Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. That's the beginning point. And here, dad is telling his children, that's the very beginning of living a life for the glory of God. Fear God. Keep his commandments. Hide his word in your heart. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord is, I fear, sometimes lacking in the body of Christ. And how we need to, once again, listen to what God says. The fear of the Lord is so important. Solomon ends Ecclesiastes. It says, let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. And I believe that we need, the church needs, the body of Christ needs to remember who is God and that we're not God. And we need to fear him and reverence him and awe him. And what a thing to tell your children, to tell your son, to tell your daughter, and if you're grandparents, to tell your grandson, your granddaughter, fear God, keep his commandments, hold on to his word. Boy, is that a message that our young people need to hear today? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, Colossians tells us, are found in the name of Jesus Christ. So he says, don't decline from the words of my mouth. Get understanding. Get wisdom. Don't forget it. Forsake her not. In other words, do not turn your back on her, and she shall preserve you. The fear of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God will defend you and will keep you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, verse 7, and with all thy getting, get understanding. The word principle here is the same word as beginning. And so the father here, Solomon, is hearing from has heard from David, and he's telling him that the most important thing is to get the wisdom of God, to fear God, to love God, to obey God. He's telling him this over and over and over again. And do you think it's possible, parents, grandparents, that we could tell our children that too much? I don't think so. The things that they're hearing at the speed of internet, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all you have to do is have devices like this and iPads and all kinds of other social devices. We need to be people who teach our young people how to fear God, how to walk in His wisdom, how to look for His wisdom, how to get the understanding that they need. And the wisdom that we talk about is not secular worldly wisdom. That may have its place. That may be valuable in getting wisdom and how to perhaps fix things or how to deal with certain things, but it's the wisdom that comes from above, the wisdom that James chapter 3 talks about. That's the kind of wisdom that we need, that our children need, if we're going to bring glory to God. And notice, when we walk in wisdom, the promise, exalt her and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor. When you embrace her, she shall give to thine head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. All of these promises, Dad is telling his children. Now picture this. Picture you talking with your kids, talking with your grandkids, and just going through the Proverbs with them. I actually have parents over the years say, well, what should I talk to them about? That's a good question. It's a valid question. And I would suggest to take out the book of Proverbs. Sit down. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 4 tonight. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 5 tomorrow night. We're going to read Proverbs chapter 6 the next night. That's what you talk to them about. You just pour God's word into them, God's knowledge into them. That's what you pour into them. That's what they need to hear. That is what will give them the ability to see things from a heavenly perspective rather than a secular and worldly perspective. And so this is so encouraging to hear how God shows us. This is how you have these facts of life conversations with your son or with your daughter. Next week, if you're here next week, he's going to have a very frank conversation with his son about the kind of women that you should not want and the kind of woman that you should want. Do you think that our young people need to hear that? Hear, O my son, verse 10, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life shall be many. Again, 23 times in the Proverbs, my son, relationship. And when we think of our children, they're gifts from God. We need to remember that. They are on loan to us from God. And it's our responsibility to steward them. Now, unfortunately, if a son or a daughter or a grandson or a granddaughter is not listening to the wisdom of a dad or a grandparent or a grandmother, then they're going to go astray. But our responsibility is to plant that seed and to teach them what God says. And so he says, hear my son and receive my sayings. Listen, how many times it says to hear and to listen, and the years of your life shall be many. I have taught thee. Now notice he says, I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in the right paths. What do you see there? That he goes from telling him what to do to telling him, I was an example to you. Note that this father not only taught his son with his words, but he led him by example. Bless the Lord, O my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we continue this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
Worshiping with the saints on Sunday morning and hearing the Word of God preached from the pulpit is a wonderful thing. But if that's all you did, it would be hard to really feel connected to your church. Koinonia is named after a Greek word that is often translated as fellowship, but no single word can express its depth and richness. Koinonia means community, sharing life with one another, caring for each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Our growth groups are small groups that meet throughout the month at church and in people's homes, where you can really get to know people, growing closer to the Lord and to each other. Check out all the groups on our website, koinoniafellowship.com.
Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.